The World May Never Know by Scoozy Pants. So the beginning is, well, the beginning is sort of fuzzy, honestly. But Brendan has this epiphany, right? And even though the beginning is blurry, sort of neon-tinged and convoluted, because there is Bill, and there's Gabe, Brendan feels really comfortable blaming everything on Joe. Or Spencer. He can totally blame Spencer and his stealth hips and John Lovin' ways. Or, okay, Adam Brody. If he has to point fingers that won't be broken by Ryan or all of Fall Out Boy, he's going to point them directly at Adam Brody of the OC fame. The thing is, Spencer and John are all of a sudden going on heterosexual life mate outings, mandates that involve a lot of giggling and ice cream and pinky finger holding, and Brendan feels this is totally unfair and kind of sickening, like it tightens up his insides. Since this leaves him abandoned on the bus with Mr. Happy Pants, which is arguably better than being stuck with Broody McBruderson, except Ryan is basically on his sidekick 24/7, either with Kelty or Pete, or his awesome new best friend Adam Brody, ignoring Brendan, and it just sucks. So Brendan is lonely, and it's horrible, and it's all Adam Brody's fault. Otherwise, he might not have gotten tangled up with Billy Beckett. "Brendan," Bill says, sliding an arm along the back of the couch, fingers skimming the nape of Brendan's neck. Brendan looks up at him, and Bill gives him a wide, slightly sloppy, fond smile. "Bill." "Brendan, my heart, my fierce little kitten," Bill says. And Brendan smiles back, because Bill always has the best pet names for him, and Brendan feels loved, so loved. "Will you do something for me?" "What?" Brendan blinks, nods. "Yeah, sure." Bill nuzzles the side of his face, down along his jaw. "Of course you will, of course. I've just got a small, delivery for Gabe." "Bill." Bill widens his eyes, glances up at Carden. "Mike." Carden takes a swig of his beer. "What are you doing?" "Why, nothing, Mike." He slips his arm down, squeezes Brendan close to his side, and Brendan feels surprisingly cozy there, despite all of Bill's sharp angles. "Nothing at all. Brendan here is just going to do me a favor, a perfectly harmless chore." "Right, uh-huh." Carden rolls his eyes. "You realize Smith will kill you." "Smith won't know." Bill gives Brendan some sort of look. Brendan thinks he's maybe trying to be intense, but he comes off kind of drunk. Bill's usually drunk 22 hours out of the day while on tour, Brendan knows. "Smith won't know," Bill repeats. "Right, my little peanut brittle? My wee bairn?" He tickles the tip of Brendan's nose. "My saucy minx?" Brendan is such a sucker for fuzzy names, geez. It's kind of pathetic. Brendan doesn't actually give in right then, though, because he is not that easy, and Gabe's supporter freaks him the fuck out. There was that incident with that guitar tech, Simon something or other, that Gabe had spent way too much time with the first week of touring, and then no one ever saw or heard from him again. And honestly, a lot of Gabe stories end up like that. But when Brendan trudges back onto his bus, Ryan is telling Spencer and John about how Adam Brody sent me this awesome picture of the sunset, guys. It's like all pink and shit. And seriously, seriously, Brendan is so much cooler than Adam Brody. The Cobra Starship bus is eerily dim. It's sort of smoky, too, but not like pot smoky. It smells like cigars and wet donkey, and Brendan doesn't know what to do with that. "Hello? Is anybody?" Ack! Brendan jumps back, almost falling down the stairs, hand to his chest. Gabe is seriously 7 feet tall. "Hello," Gabe says, staring down at him, a huge paw curled around Brendan's arm to steady him, which is nice of Gabe. He's got some sort of purple robe on and a pipe sticking out of the corner of his mouth. "Yuri, what brings you to my domain?" "Bill?" "William," Gabe nods. "So you've chosen your side." Brendan has no idea what Gabe's talking about, but he certainly doesn't want to choose sides. No, I've got, like, a message from him," he says, holding out a thin envelope with a little bear thing drawn on the front. It looks like it's stepping on a snake. Gabe takes it from Brendan gingerly, one eyebrow arched high. Brendan fidgets while he reads the note, and then Gabe smiles, wide and creepy. "Excellent," he says, and then, "Wait here a sec," and he disappears into the back of the bus. Brendan doesn't actually understand what he's gotten himself into, not until Joe pulls him aside later that night after he stumbles off Gabe's bus, a little shaky and smelling like ass, spots flashing behind his eyes from all the strobe lights. Brendan thinks the Cobra bus is a little like what a gay 80s disco revival club might be like, and asks, "Dude, seriously, what are you doing?" Brendan cocks his head. "I don't know. What am I doing?" he asks. And then Joe clucks his tongue and hooks an arm around his neck and drags him off towards the Fall Out Boy bus. Dude, Joe says, "this is so unwise. You don't want to get in the middle of Gabe and Bill." Brendan's got his head under a blanket, sprawled all over the couch in the front lounge. He giggles, feels like there's bubbles popping all through his body. Joe kicks him lightly in the side. "Spencer will kill you. Or Bill. He might just hurt Bill a lot." An hour or 15 minutes later, or it could be like morning already, since Pete came out, stared at them for a while, grinned this manic grin, and then silently left. Plus, there's sugar remains all over Brendan's shirt, pixie sticks carcasses stuffed into his pants, and he's not going to think about that too hard. Brendan says, wait, why would Spencer care? Joe blinks at him over his Xbox controller. He's got it tucked up to his chin, like that'll help him corner better with Yoshi. What? Why would Spencer be mad at me? At Bill? Brendan asks, chewing on a thumbnail. Joe shrugs. I'm a little mad at Bill, too. Okay, right. Brendan has no idea what's going on. Not as much as Spencer will be, dude, Joe says. Though it's not like Bill's been macking on my girlfriend or anything. The fucker ate all my white cheddar Cheez-Its. Right, what? Brendan knows his eyes are huge, but he can't help it. The thing is, Spencer and John are doing these stupid, giggly mandates they do, and they come back with secret smiles and bags of candy, and then John curls up with his sidekick, and Cassie texts him pics of Dylan and Clover, and her painted toenails, and broken pieces of shells, and wet pavement and shit, because they're kind of weird together. And when John curls up with his sidekick, Spencer usually curls up with Brendan on the couch and shares his peanut M&Ms or gummy bears or Sour Patch Kids. And Spencer lets Brendan fidget with their hands and lets Brendan drape himself all over his lap with this long-suffering sigh while they watch DVDs starring Ryan's new best friend Adam Brody or reruns of Sesame Street. And when they're all snuggled down and comfy, Spencer will maybe nuzzle Brendan's cheek or kiss the top of his head. And it's all very sweet and heartwarming, and Brendan especially loves those times with Spencer. This doesn't prove whatever Joe's implying, though. Brendan's no one's girlfriend, okay, but the truth of the matter is that Joe has forced Brendan to realize something. Realize that he kind of, probably, has a super-secret gay crush on one of his bandmates. That's what all the swooping in his belly is about. He thought maybe it was bad Chinese food. Ryan had met Adam Brody through Pete, who'd met him through Ashley, who'd met him because she's a rabid fangirl and has this awesome voice that's both squeaky and husky at the same time when she's excited. Brendan thinks Ashley's kick-ass, except for the part where Adam Brody is now all Ryan ever talks about, which has driven Spencer off the bus with John, because Spencer likes to shop and John has the patience of 15 saints and doesn't mind carrying Spencer's bags. And Brendan routinely gets thrown out of malls. It's happened like 3 times on this tour alone. Strangely, Adam Brody is not really a fan of their music. Ryan says that makes their relationship more realistic, sturdier, more likely to last. Brendan thinks they actually met in person, like, once. Ryan says Adam Brody's coming out on tour with us for a few days next month, with this grin that makes his eyes sparkle kind of creepily. Spencer and John share a look that makes Brendan want to stab something. It's a look full of puppies and charm and secrets, a look that would be so much better if Spencer would aim it at him, Brendan. And seriously, how could he not have noticed this crush before? It's sort of obvious. Logically, if Brendan had to crush on someone in the band, it should have been Ryan. Except Brendan has his doubts that Ryan could actually carry him anywhere. and Brendan totally likes to be carried places by people he loves in sexual ways. He had a huge crush on Zach for like months, and then Spencer had to go ahead and grow inches taller and actual broad shoulders and like thighs and facial hair that didn't look taped on or hoboish. Once, some random guy stuffed a dollar bill in Ryan's Starbucks cup, and that totally never stops being hilarious in all possible ways. John even commemorated it in a photo reenactment starring Pete and the Butcher. And it's so obvious that Spencer can manhandle Brendan all he wants if he really wanted to. So his deep hatred and jealousy of Adam Brody aside, it's just like this total wacky sidekick deal, he's sure. Like Brendan's always been Ryan Seth, minus all the sexual tension from the show. And now Adam Brody is there to be Ryan Seth, hopefully minus all the sexual tension too, because Kelty can be sort of vicious when threatened. Pete has some scars to prove it. There was no actual reason for Brendan to crush on Ryan's skinny ass. John Walker would also be a likely love interest for Brendan because he's awesome. In fact, Brendan had spent a full day convinced that John was his actual secret gay crush, because Spencer and John are Spencer and John, an absurd amount of the time lately. So the sudden and unfortunate blushing could honestly have been brought about by either one of them. Except for the fact that John Walker's truly awesome smile is not quite wide enough to birth robots and kittens and spindly baby unicorns. So this is now established as fact. Spencer Smith, making Brendan happy since 2004, now with increased sexual awareness. It's Tuesday, and Brendan is hiding from Bill. The day of the week isn't really important, except for the fact that Tuesdays mean fresh hot dogs, and ever since Brendan gave up being a vegetarian, he, like, craves hot dogs in all their disgusting glory, most of all. Bill had slid up behind him in the food tent, wrapped an arm around him, and said, "Bren, Brenny, you didn't show up last night. Tell your old pal Bill what's wrong. Gabe isn't being cruel to you, is he?" Brendan had nearly choked on his yummy processed meat parts. No? Oh, good. He'd tugged Brendan closer, pressed a kiss to the top of his head. "I'd hate to have to find someone else," he'd said. And Brendan had felt kind of trapped, especially after Bill'd squeezed his ass. Brendan still has no idea what he's even shuffling back and forth between Gabe and Bill. It isn't like he hasn't snuck a look at the notes, but he doesn't know what B-44 means, or F-13, or sink this, or eat my submarine and die, bitch. It's gotta be code. Evil Gabe and Bill code. He's starting to get some mafia vibes out of the whole situation, too, and not any of the cool ones, like in Corky Romano. So Brendan's hiding from Bill in Spencer's bunk. "What are you doing in my bunk?" Spencer asks, pulling the curtain aside. "Hiding." Spencer cocks his head, studies Brendan for a minute, then shrugs. "Okay," he says. And then he pushes at Brendan's shoulder to move him over, and crawls in with him, and then sort of curls up by his pillow so Brendan's head is resting dangerously close to his belly, hands dangerously close to his hips. Brendan bites his lip, tilts his head back to look up at Spencer. Spencer beams at him. "Hi." Spencer smells like rainbows. Brendan kind of wants to lick that stripe of skin that's peeking out from under Spencer's shirt, just over the waistband of his pants, and thinking that has the unfortunate effect of making Brendan hard. There is no way Brendan can get over Spencer and out of the bunk without him noticing, even though he totally wants that half-full bag of Skittles Spencer gave him last night. This secret gay crush is getting kind of inconvenient. "I have a secret gay crush on Spencer," Brendan tells Joe. Brendan's deep in the bowels of another blanket fort. It's a little smoky. Joe's breached the integrity of his fort and has his head, one shoulder, and half a thigh in it with him. Brendan pokes at his cheek. "Joe, Joe, Joe." "You can't have a secret gay crush on Spencer," Joe says. He turns towards him, and Brendan's still poking, so he totally almost sticks his finger up Joe's nose. Brendan laughs. "I do, oh, I do, but don't tell anyone, kay?" And Joe cocks his head. And Brendan gets a better angle, short nail catching at Joe's nostril, and that's so gross, but so funny. And Joe scrubs lazily at his face. "Dude, whatever," Joe says. "You can't have secret crushes on people you're, like, actually dating. That's retarded. You sound like Pete." Brendan is not sure that makes any sense at all. That makes total sense, he says, nodding. 4 days after Brendan's secret gay crush on Spencer is established as fact, and 2 days after Brendan tells Joe his revelation in the blanket fort, which they are expressly forbidden to make again, since Patrick had walked in just in time to save the entire bus from a raging fire, Brendan actually remembers what Joe had said. Brendan thinks maybe he's forgotten what the definition of dating actually is, if what Joe had said was true. It doesn't help that his last girlfriend was Audrey, since Audrey had been sort of inexplicably scary. It also doesn't help that Brendan's never actually kissed a guy, even though he thinks about it a lot. He thinks maybe it's different or something, but even then, Brendan's pretty sure he'd know if he was dating someone. I wouldn't call it dating, Pete says. Thank you. More like some sort of incredibly slow courtship, Pete grins. Wooing. Wooing, Joe crows, pointing at Brendan. Dude, he's plying you with candy and cuddles. Brendan would be pissed at them, except it sounds kind of awesome. Brendan's totally up for being plied with candy and cuddles. The problem, though, is that Spencer's been on some sort of uncharacteristic cuddling rampage lately, and no one's safe. Brendan's nothing special. Brendan is awesome and handsome and has this great ass. Brendan knows this, but he's not going to throw out words like special. Mainly because Pete's bound to take it in the short bus sense, but also because Brendan is totally modest. And Spencer is holding hands with John and sprawling on the couch between Ryan's legs while Ryan texts Adam Brody. And Brendan caught him sharing goobers with Nate the other day, so... Spencer's wooing the entire tour with candy and cuddles, Brendan says, pouting. It's totally not fair. Brendan is sure that if he hadn't started hanging out with Billy Beckett and Gabe, he totally wouldn't have had to acknowledge this whole crush thing, and he would have been fine. He would have been peachy and keen and totally still hot for that merch girl, the one with the penchant for butterfly collars and the slightly crooked nose. What's up, man? Adam Brody says, settling down beside Brendan on the dressing room couch. Brendan contemplates telling Adam Brody about Ryan being gay for him, but he thinks maybe that's mean. Also, Kelty's lurking around somewhere, and she's totally got bat ears. Brendan is not ashamed to admit that Kelty scares him a little. But then Spencer walks in, crosses his arms over his chest, and says, Ryan told me you've been spending a lot of time with Gabe and Bill, and Ryan is a total bitch, God. Even Joe had been keeping that a secret. Brendan turns to Adam Brody and says, Ryan wants to have your babies. The thing is, Spencer doesn't get, like, physically angry. He gets pissy and evil, which is much, much scarier. During the height of the Great War between Spencer Smith and Bill Beckett, which, as far as Brendan can tell, mainly consists of a lot of bitchy glaring, Brendan makes John hide out on top of the panic bus with him. Ryan isn't speaking to him since he scared off Adam Brody, so John is his only ally. Except John sneaks down after 2 hours of snuggling to get some water and never comes back, and then Brendan gets bored. Seriously, so bored, and he's surprised he lasted as long as he did, honestly, because the top of the bus is long and flat and boring. And he climbs down and into the waiting arms of one Gabe Saporta, which is both unexpected and unpleasant. Gabe looks like maybe he let a blind 5-year-old dress him. Brendan didn't know they even made sweatpants that shade of neon orange, and deep down Brendan's maybe a little jealous, because they look extra comfy, with big roomy pockets. I like your pants, Brendan says. Why, thank you, Brendan Boyd Urie. Brendan's eyes widen. Gabe using his full name is never a good sign. Usually it's preceded by, we do not speak the cobra's name, and some vicious rib poking. Brendan wraps his arms protectively around his midsection. You're welcome, Brendan says, then presses his lips together. Gabe just stares at him. Brendan doesn't exactly know what to say. Gabe has a way of making silences tense and uncomfortable, sort of like the quiet is eating your brain. It's one of his many creepy talents. Smith has issued a challenge, Gabe says finally, and Brendan scrunches his face up, because he'd kind of been expecting something like, I'm now going to drug you and make you perform an interpretive dance with the butcher, which has, sadly, happened once or twice or 5 times. It's not like Brendan's keeping track. What? Brendan asks. He's worn me away, Yuri, Gabe's eyes narrow. He's threatened my manhood. In the interests of my balls, I'm going to relieve you of your duties. Okay? Brendan's doing a little dance inside. He doesn't think Bill will be as easy to convince as Gabe, because Bill, strangely, has less of a survival instinct. Bill's all about honor, and the booze makes him feel invincible. Gabe likes to blame things on his snake, and then he gets the fuck out of Dodge when they inevitably go to shit. Grinning, Gabe grabs the front of Brendan's shirt with both hands, drags him up on his tippy toes, and then plants a sloppy one right on his lips. Brendan squeaks and flails a little and then nearly falls when Gabe lets him go. Brendan spits. Brendan has learned, in the weeks spent hanging out on the Cobra bus, that spitting after suffering through one of Gabe's kisses is the only way to ensure Gabe hasn't slipped anything into his mouth that will make him hallucinate, or collapse in a puddle of goo, or go tell Spencer he loves him with a burning, fiery passion, or hook up with Alex. Alex is cool and all, but Brendan's sort of frightened of Ryland, and Ryland looks like maybe has a robot army stashed away just in case Brendan gets fresh. Go with my blessing, Gabe says, holding out a fist for Brendan to knock. Brendan bumps knuckles, then slips onto the panic bus and locks the door. Brendan steals Ryan's sidekick, copies down Adam Brody's number, and then sends him about 5 or 10 text messages telling him he'd been totally kidding about Ryan and his babies thing, and that it would be super cool if he'd call Ryan or something, since Ryan is splitting time between moping and sending Brendan hurtful glares. It's the moping that gets Brendan the most, since he's gotten so used to happy cowpoke Ryan, and he misses Ryan's smile. When he doesn't think Ryan will punch him, so when Ryan's got a full bowl of cereal that he won't drop in order to free his hands, Brendan curls up next to him and wraps his arm around his waist and squeezes tight and says, I'm sorry. Ryan holds himself stiff for approximately 5 seconds before caving, tipping his cheek against the top of Brendan's head. You're fucking lucky I love you, Ryan grumbles, and Brendan beams, smushing his mouth right up against Ryan's shoulder. Bill does not admit defeat very easily. The lack of support from Gabe has apparently only fueled his determination, and he's trapped Brendan on his bus. Brendan's still not exactly sure how that happened, but it has something to do with hot chocolate and sugar cookies and the sound of music. 3 hours later, Bill still has him locked in the back lounge, and the Von Trapp family is singing its way over the hills, and Brendan's sort of anxious to leave. He swipes cookie crumbs off his lap. Bill? Stay, Bill purrs, wagging a DVD case at him. It's The Little Mermaid. Brendan whimpers. He's got sound check in maybe 2 hours. That's just enough time. Brendan wakes up to yelling. Spencer yelling, specifically, and then he remembers that they're actually on tour for a reason, and that probably falling asleep, locked on Bill's bus, wasn't the smartest idea. Bill tends to be forgetful about things that aren't specifically related to himself, and it's just like him to go flouncing off and forget that Brendan had sound check at 3:30 that afternoon. Judging by the orange light filtering in through the windows, Brendan thinks it's considerably later than that. Spencer sounds extra screechy, which means he's worried. Brendan grins and pokes his head out of the lounge, and then he reels back when Spencer spots him, because wow, worried or not, Spencer looks like he just might kill him with his brain. Spencer palms the door before Brendan can close it, leveraging it all the way open. And Brendan says, Hey, victim here. I was kidnapped, Spencer Smith, and subjected to cruel, cruel torture. Spencer glances at the TV. The Little Mermaid DVD menu is still up on the screen. He arches an eyebrow at Brendan. Brendan tangles his fingers in the hem of his t-shirt. He can't think of anything to say that wouldn't make Spencer cock a hip and bitch at him for wasting time, so he doesn't say anything at all. And then Spencer turns to Bill, who's slumped against the bunks with this smug, contented cat look on his face, and Spencer slaps him. Brendan has never been so shocked in his entire life. And then he starts laughing. Oh my God, John Walker, Brendan says. And Brendan's maybe past hysteria and into awe, because Spencer Smith fucking slapped Bill Beckett, and that's the greatest thing to ever happen ever. I wish you could have seen it. And Bill's face, John. And then he just says, pistols at dawn, and oh my God, they're like dueling for my honor. John has this wide smile on his face, and an even wider one lighting up his eyes. You're pretty besmirched, he says, and Brendan presses his face into John's neck and laughs. Spencer, Brendan whispers, and then he totally ruins the whispering by shoving at Spencer's prone body and clambering up on his bunk. Spencer, hey, wake up. Somebody better be dead, Spencer grumbles, but he moves over and opens his arms a little, giving Brendan just enough room to snuggle in. Spencer, Brendan says, and steels himself to be honest, because he totally has to bare his soul to Spencer before he goes off to duel. He might die and stuff. Brendan's not exactly sure what they're going to use for weapons, but the possibility is there, okay? Spencer, I think you should know something. Spencer sighs into his pillow. He turns his head, brushes his lips against Brendan's cheek, rubs his nose on Brendan's skin a little. What? Brendan takes Spencer's hand, laces their fingers together over his stomach. I, Brendan says slowly, have a secret gay crush on you. Spencer stills, his hand tightening around Brendan's. He starts shaking a little, and it takes a few moments of heart-stopping terror because Brendan thinks maybe Spencer's going to go all ninja on him. They're cuddled up in the same bed, and Brendan basically just confessed he wants into Spencer's pants. So maybe Spencer's a little offended or something, right? Before Brendan registers Spencer's giggles, and Spencer's laughing at him, and that's just totally mean. Okay, Spencer says, and it sounds like it's taken some effort for him to spit that out without guffawing. Thanks, Spencer. He burrows closer to Brendan, though, and that's nice. Okay, Spencer says again. That's good to know. Over breakfast, Brendan sits as close as possible to Spencer on the couch and tells Ryan earnestly, I have a huge gay crush on Spencer. Please don't hurt me. Ryan blinks at him. Spencer coughs into his fist. Brendan bites his lower lip. Ryan? I'll try not to fly into a rage, Ryan deadpans, then sends Spencer a look that Brendan totally doesn't get. Because it's sort of like Ryan's you took the last piece of toast, you bastard look, and that doesn't seem to actually fit the situation. Brendan can feel Spencer shrug, since he's seriously sitting so close, and he kind of wants to hold Spencer's hand, too, but he doesn't, because Ryan's reaction to the whole Brendan wanting to raise kittens in Vermont with Spencer revelation is still iffy. And then Brendan thinks, wait a minute. Because Brendan can totally put two and two together and come up with the exact same answer as Joe. It just takes him a little longer to count. You're not wooing the whole tour, are you? He asks Spencer. What? Wooing? Ryan asks, then cracks a grin Brendan hasn't seen since Adam Brody booked it. Are you plying everyone with candy, Spencer Smith? Brendan demands. Because if Spencer's going to be all casual about this crush business, and they totally made out that morning, and they hadn't even brushed their teeth first, and Brendan had stuck his hands down the back of Spencer's pajama pants, and it had been so awesome. He can't wait for full-on sexin'. He thinks he deserves all Spencer's cuddling and sugar-based products. Have you been talking to Pete? Spencer asks. Brendan nods, and Joe. Brendan leaves out the part about the blanket fort, and how Patrick had beat them down with a broom after it caught fire, while Pete cackled evilly in the background. Because that's mainly embarrassing. Oh, well, that fucking explains it, Ryan says. It turns out that Pistols at Dawn means a cutthroat Halo marathon, starting after the show at the crack of 1:30 a.m. and lasting until whenever, sometime in the mid-morning. To the victor goes the spoils, Bill says grandly, and Brendan's not so sure he likes the sound of that. Dueling is one thing, but Brendan sort of thinks he's being bet like a hot commodity now. Not that Brendan isn't the hottest fucking commodity around, but whatever. He's not sleeping with Bill Beckett if Spencer somehow manages to fuck up the game. Brendan settles down to watch, but it's really kind of boring if you're not playing, even though the insult hurling is sort of amusing at first, until Bill resorts to your mom jokes and Spencer gets genuinely pissed because Spencer's sort of touchy about his mom. so Brendan eventually sneaks off to go find Joe. There's a blackish hole in the blanket the size of Brendan's fist, so the fort of truth, Joe says. Dude, you can't lie in the fort of truth. Doesn't work as well as it used to. They're wedged into Joe's bunk, too, because Patrick will totally kill them if he finds them lighting up under flammable materials again. Joe's got one knee bent through the hole, and it's dark under there. And Brendan says, it's dark in the fort of truth, then giggles. It's totally, like, pitch black under there, and smoky. Joe, for serious, Spencer kissed me. Okay, dude. Joe nods, or Brendan thinks he nods. The blanket shifts, at least. We made out. It was awesome, Brendan goes on, because it was so awesome. He feels like telling everybody about it, but he thinks maybe that's not wise. Brendan can be so wise when he wants to be. I'm like an owl. Joe flicks his lighter on. His eyes are droopy, and his mouth is curled up in this soft smile. It takes three licks, dude, Joe says, and Brendan nods. Says, duh, because he's a freaking wise owl. He knows these things. Brendan stumbled back from Joe's and is napping snugly on the couch in the back lounge when Spencer wakes him up. He slumps over Brendan, curls his hands around his waist, snuffles into his throat. Brendan yawns. Spence? Ugh. Spencer clenches his fingers, groans, and says, I lost. What? What? Brendan's got visions of himself bound up on the Academy's bus, forced to watch the butcher and Cardin play porn charades. And the last time that had happened, Brendan had nightmares for weeks. You lost? Whatever. You have to take him to the zoo or something. Hold his hand. What? A zoo trip seems a little tame for Bill, and Brendan wonders if that isn't code for hot monkey sex. Brendan, Spencer says tiredly, peeling back and frowning down at him. Spencer, seriously, Spencer, hot monkey sex is only appealing with you, Brendan says earnestly. And maybe Bob Breyer. Because Bob Breyer totally looks like he can hold Brendan above his head with one hand. Spencer's expression is in that weird place between a smile and frown. Like a grimace, only more bitchy. Breyer? Brendan widens his eyes and wisely, seriously, like an owl, decides to change the subject. Will this zoo have okapis? Okapis are clearly the best animals since unicorns, what with their giraffe backs and zebra legs. Spencer's eyes are still kind of narrow, but he shrugs. Sure? Brendan's okay with that. Just so long as he doesn't have to see Bill naked, again, and doesn't have to step foot on the Cobra bus. Because the week since Gabe graciously let him go has been awesome. He hasn't hallucinated even once, or even had that dream about the squirrel that tells him to burn things. John Walker, Brendan says, striding over to John with his totally confident stride. He's going to own it tonight. He so is. Brendan, John says. He's grinning, ducking around Spencer, chin digging into the side of his upper arm, and arms wrapped around Spencer's waist. John, Brendan says seriously, oh so serious. You're encroaching on my personal space. And Spencer pulls a bitch face, and his hips twitch left, and John buries his face in the back of Spencer's shoulder and laughs. He laughs and laughs to the point where Brendan thinks maybe Joe's been sharing the owl fort of truth. Can I get a who from the Who Council? Joe asks as he passed by with Andy. And Brendan automatically stretches out a fist to bump and coos, whoo! Because they're freaking owls. They hover menacingly and shit. And they're all wise beyond their tender years. With more than just Brendan. And then Spencer jabs an elbow into John's stomach and flounces off, and Brendan has to bite his lip to keep from laughing, too. Later, Spencer totally threatens Brendan's balls, but Brendan just sort of pretends to be scared, because Spencer isn't going to do anything with Brendan's balls that isn't spectacularly pleasant. He knows this. Spencer likes him too much. Later, Brendan thinks his new favorite word is fortuitous, because it was damn fortuitous for him to get between Gabe and Bill, because otherwise he totally would have waited forever to worm his way into Spencer's pants. Probably. Dude, Brendan echoes, nodding at Adam Brody. They're snug in the owl fort of truth, because Adam Brody is totally an owl now that he's talking to Ryan again and coming on tour with them and sharing meaningful and respectful looks with Kelty. Dude, Adam Brody says. And Joe drawls, Adam fucking Brody, like he can't believe the three of them all fit in his bunk. It's kind of tight, but Joe and Brendan are little. I'm so wise, Adam Brody says. He sounds amazed. Brendan can relate. He nods again, says, Adam Brody, dude, this is like fortuitous, it so is. I'm gonna call you AB, okay? AB, Joe says. AB, man, welcome. Welcome to my humble fort. Can I get a who from the Who Council? Brendan and AB chorus, quiet-like, 'cause they're still hiding from Patrick. Who?